Romans chapter number 1, we got started talking really about the just shall live by faith. Can you say that with me?
The just shall live by faith.
Now, faith is not just used to get stuff, but that is what you have to do also. In fact, before we even get into to Romans, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11.
I've been wanting
to talk about this for the longest. And help you to
Here
be able to
go.
See this also.
Let's
go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. If you can put it up on the board, please. Hebrews 11 and 1. And let's get on with it concerning what we're studying here in the
I
book
think
of Romans.
It's some of our students. That's not.
Right.
Yeah, tomorrow.
So
okay.
Hebrews 11 and 1. Here's what it says. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Things hoped for, the evidence of things. Now, I want to make sure we get this because people always talk about, well, you want to use your faith, for, you know, you just want more stuff. Well, faith is the substance of things. I won't even say hope for, the evidence of things. So if you're going to deal with things, you're going to have some faith. Now, I'm going to say it again. Faith is the substance of things. So if you need some things, you have to learn how to like faith. Because faith is the substance of things. It's the evidence of things, even though we don't see them.
Not right.
Yeah, know. It
so
hasn't manifested.
The things that you are believing for.
It hasn't manifested.
Hasn't manifested. So
it
you
hasn't
have
manifested.
You have to use faith until it manifests.
Faith is the substance of what?
Things.
Faith is the substance of what?
Things.
Faith is the substance of what?
Things.
Faith is the substance of things that we hope for. It's the evidence of what?
Things.
So even if you don't see the thing, you see faith, right? So we see things through faith. I want to deal with this because people want to call it blab it and grab it, name it and claim it. It's just how things work. And see, God didn't have a problem with things. Everything God made by faith. And let's just continue to read here. And for some of you that have been Christians for a long time, some of you watching my live stream and you've been a Christian for a long time, you really have not understood this concept, and God really has, in a lot of ways of teaching this year, have told me to just go back to the basics for a lot of people that just, either they didn't get it or they missed it when it was coming. Faith is the substance of things. I want to just get your brain to get that. It's the substance of things. Now, let's think of it this way. If you want to change things, what do you need? You're going to have some faith to change things. Well, what are things? Things are things. Okay. Now, there was a thing on Adam's family called thing. There was also something called it. Okay. Faith is the substance, not talking about that. Is the substance of things hoped for. So listen, there's nothing wrong with using faith to change the things you have. If the thing you have is sickness, then you need to use the thing called faith to change it to a thing called health or healing. So if you don't like the things you have, ain't no sense in complaining about them. Use your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and you really don't hear until you hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and if you really want to hear, you hear the word of God.
And
faith
not,
comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
And not necessarily, faith comes by hearing, but, gosh, I was going to say something.
Not having heard?
Wrote it down.
Yeah, right. There you go. You got
no,
to know
knowledge for comes, but not necessarily by reading.
Right.
Knowledge comes by reading.
Right.
Faith comes by hearing. And that's why it's important for us to hear, but it's the word of faith.
Right.
It's God's word.
In fact,
word.
When you read the word of God, it would be nice for you to repeat what you hear so faith can come.
to have the God kind of faith. Because what we hear in this world, right. if we keep hearing it, hearing negativity and all this, you can build faith for things that are negative.
Right.
And people do Bad it by
things.
Watching the news all the time.
No good
and,
things.
Right. And it just, the Bible says, because the word comes in and it could choke the word if you have the cares of the world. And that can, you know, it will choke the word of God that you have heard, which means it's going to choke faith.
Right.
As well. So.
Now, these mm-hmm. are principles that work whether you use them in the positive or the negative. Because people in the world believe what they say. They have faith. I mean, that's how do you think these skyscrapers got built? They weren't all born-again believers praying in the Holy Ghost as they built those skyscrapers. People believed they could build that. They studied until they understood engineering enough to be able to put red iron or steel or whatever, and aluminum, all this stuff together, and glass and all this stuff together to be able to make sure that the building would hold up and be able to withstand even earthquakes. They had faith that they could build a skyscraper. Okay? So you can use faith in a lot of ways. It's not just Christians that can have faith. You can have faith for the wrong thing. Now, when you have faith for the wrong thing based on the word of God, you're believing the wrong thing. It's called something. It's called unbelief. You need to write that down. Faith in the wrong thing based on the word of God is called unbelief. Because some people can believe what is not true, and it's called unbelief. Now, a preacher that preaches unbelief displeases God. When you preach what God did not say or the opposite of God, what God says, because you want to placate the people and keep them giving you the money. I know what I'm talking about. I'm a pastor. And people do that. Pastors do that. They will say what they want, make sure the people want to hear so they can keep the people coming and paying tithes and giving an offering. And so they'll compromise. Okay? I decided when I started pastoring, before I started, I said, I am not doing that. You don't like what I say? You don't like what I say. But what I say is not based on me. It's based on the word. So you ain't really like don't like what I say. You don't like what the word says. You don't like what God's saying. Because this is not an opinion session.
That's right.
Mm-mm. This is a session where we spend time finding out what God said. And if God didn't say it, ain't no sense in me saying it because it ain't going to help you. And that ain't going to last long. If everything I tell you ain't going to help you, you ain't going to keep coming. I wouldn't keep coming. I'd be the first one to leave.
Well, the Bible says the word will not fail. You know,
that's right.
It's been tried and the word is forever.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It is settled in heaven. It is already settled. That's Psalms 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all destructions. But it also talks about that it's settled forever already. Now, I'm trying to give us some very basic principles. Because if you want to change something as a believer, you must use faith. When I'm saying that, I'm saying you must use the word of God. In other words, you have to learn what the Word of God says about various subjects you have to deal with and then believe what the Word says to change the situation. And this is why we got bawling, squalling, crying, weeping Christians that ain't got nothing going on because they think God sees their emotions and that's going to change things. God is not moved by, yeah, he saw the children of Israel cry. They saw Jesus wept. But that's not how you get it. That's not how you change things. Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to move God just through the emotion, and God is moved by his word. Now, he doesn't want you crying. He doesn't want you upset. He doesn't want you discomforted. That's why he gave you a comforter.
But faith is
called the Holy Spirit. But you are not supposed to be uncomfortable. Go ahead, Kathy.
I'll write it down.
But faith what? No. No, I want to hear what you got to say.
Well, I say faith is what pleases the Lord, though.
That's right. We're getting to and that. It's in the same chapter. And this is important because a lot of believers, They believe they are really well-meaning, loving people that care so much about God, but they're just ignorant of these kinds of principles. And they think that if they cry enough, or if they moan and groan, or if they, and then after a while, they just figure, I'm supposed to suffer for the Lord. And so they pick up the suffering doctrine, that I'm just supposed to, you know, Jesus suffered, I'm supposed to suffer. You ain't supposed to suffer nothing except for, okay, the enemy is going to attack you. The enemy is, tomorrow will have its own problems, the Bible says, paraphrase. So you don't have to look for, trying to look sorry in order to get God to be able to help you. You're going to look sorry either way because you're going to have to fight. Because tomorrow's got some more problems that today doesn't have. I'm not trying to speak nothing on you. It's in Matthew chapter 6. See? I'm just telling you the truth. So there's no sense in you looking around feeling sorry for yourself and hoping God's going to come around. And that's the reason why he's going to be motivated. God is motivated by his word. I know it seems tough, but that's how he created the whole universe. Go ahead, Michelle. Yeah, so
faith must be used every day. Faith must be used every day.
Right. So the just shall live by faith. How many days do you live? I mean, you live every day. Mm-hmm. So we have to live every day. So we have to learn how to make faith an everyday use. It's not just Sunday and Wednesday night. It's not just first Sunday night when communion comes. All day, every day should be a day filled with you thinking, meditating, believing, confessing the word of God to change things to what God says they should be. Because God's got a vision for this place, and he's going to get it. As it is in heaven, let it be done here on this earth. That's his vision. Now, in order for you to get the things that make that for your life, heaven on earth, as it were, you're going to have to use some faith. You're going to have to believe God's word. Your emotions are not going to get you there. Your whatever is not going to get you there. You can't wear a cool enough, you know, pair of shoes to get there. God wants you to know that you have to use your faith. Now, I'm going to give it to you again. Faith is the substance of what? What? So if you don't like the things you have to use the substance called faith. Now, I like to call it a control substance. Now, some of y'all back into drugs already. You think about them reefers. You know, you got that pipe in your back of your mind. See, that's not the control substance I'm talking about. But see, that control substance will affect things too in a bad way. But this is a controlled substance in that you control it. Every person is given a measure of faith. That's how you got saved. But then you have to build your faith. And you're building your faith by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by reading. Revelation and knowledge comes from reading. Now, you may read it and get some faith because you really, you can see what it's doing. But if you really want to build yourself up on your most holy faith, you need to hear the word of God. Yeah. That little button on your Bible in your phone, you need to push that button and let it play the word to you sometime. Instead of reading it all the time, you need to read it. And what I do is I like to read it while it's reading it to me, while it's saying it. Because now you got not only knowledge coming and revelation coming, but you also have faith coming, because faith comes by hearing. See, and we want to, well, I know, if I read enough by myself in my own home by myself, this ain't designed to be a home study. You can do that by yourself if you want to, but you're supposed to come up in here and hear the word of God. They didn't have the internet. There's something about being there to hear the word of God. Because it causes you to make an effort. It makes it more valuable when you got it, you know, you're tired as you can be. You've been at work all day long. You've been driving, whatever. You've been doing whatever you do. And here you got to drive through all this crazy traffic, these crazy drivers. I'm praying for every one of them. I don't want to be around nobody on the freeway. Nobody. I told y'all this. I spaced myself about 5 or 10 10 car lengths away from them and 5/10 car lengths from the ones behind me. And I sit right in the middle. And if you start creeping up on me, I'm going forward. You start slowing down, I'm going back. Because these people are crazy. I drive too much, okay? I drive all, we got so many things that we do. But see, faith is the substance of the things hoped for.
Yeah, and that's how you got born again, too, by hearing the word of God.
That's right.
And you responded to the voice of
right.
God.
So. Or else God would just tell you, go home and read your Bible and get saved. Mm-hmm. You have to hear the word.
You heard that, yeah.
You have to heard that. Well, listen, not only do you have to hear it, you have to say it in order to get saved.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So you hear it, then you got to be able to make it work for you by speaking it. You got to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you shall be saved. That's what you have to do. And you have to believe what you hear and say it for yourself that you have it. Y'all got what I'm saying? This is serious. Now, it's an excellent process, and people, that's the reason the devil fights it and say, well, you're one of them faith believers, you're one of those blabbering grabbiters, you know, who are you? Oh, you think you can just say it and it's going to come to pass. Well, God said, and then look at all the stuff, you can't even find all the stuff he's made. It's still making itself. This universe is still birthing. And he said, let there be, and let it was, and there it was, and whatever, you know what I mean. So faith is the substance of things to change things. We as believers use faith. And this is why people live. See, I don't believe we should live the same way from year to year. I think every year should be better. Now, this is a year of acceleration. I told you, tack down that wig because we're moving. It's already happening. We're getting reports from all kinds of folks. Stuff is happening quick. It didn't happen last year, but it's happening now. And so you need to get ready for acceleration, because this year should be much better than last year. Yeah, last year wasn't a bad year, you know, for most folks that were serving the Lord, really serving the Lord. But, you know, this year's going to be off the charts, and it ain't over yet. It just got started. We ain't even into the first month, and God's got some mighty things going on. Well, things going on. See, you can't be scared of things. God shows you that your faith worked through things. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now faith is the substance of things. You want to change things? That's how you change them. You want to improve things? That's how you improve them. You want more things, better things? You want things to change? It's through faith. Mm-hmm. It's things. I want to drive this home. Things. Stop getting afraid of things. Stop being afraid that things come when you serve God. Things, that's the byproduct of a relationship with God. You're not going after the things. You're going after God, and the things show up. I'm not going for things. I don't care about things. But people will walk up to us and bless us, all over the place, people all over the place. All kinds of things happen. All kinds of things. We just had, what, how much was that? $12,000 worth of debt canceled for medical?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The thing came. The letter came and said, it's canceled. Cancel debt. A $12,000 bill, she has to pay $200. Now, I wasn't running around looking for that thing. I didn't even know that thing existed. I didn't even know we owed $12,000. But you go to the emergency room, you're going to pay $12,000. You're going to pay that. And the guy ain't do nothing. He didn't do nothing. In fact, he forgot most of the stuff he was supposed to do. We had to go back to the hospital because he forgot in the emergency room. And, you know, she hurt her arm and, you know, and missed a step one day. And, you know, but, you know, God protected her on that too. Thank God for that, because we believe a thing called faith. We have faith in God. Now, it says, now, faith is a substance. Now, these are just principles. You can't play with this. Just stop arguing with yourself. Just accept it. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. So if you're going to have some hope for anything to change, you're going to have some faith. And you can't get it sitting at home eating bonbons. You got to come up and hear the word. And you know how I am. And, you know, y'all never really went to church with me where I went to church. But I was front seater, hit me with the spit. I was ready. I want to hear that word. And I want, you know, I wasn't close enough if they couldn't spit on me, you know. So I wanted to be right up in their face. I want to be. What'd you get? I'd ask her, what'd you get? I ain't telling you. You better tell me. We sit there both trying to get everything. Because we found out that faith, okay, I got that. Faith is more valuable than money. Money can't get faith, but faith can get money. You can get dirty rich, filthy rich, using faith. But that's not the, we're not going after the things. We're going after the God that has the faith. Because we want the God kind of faith. Amen? Now, I'm going to read this a little bit, one more time.
I'm going to insert something
yes,
here,
ma'am.
Because I had mentioned this to the leaders, and I think we need to all think about this and insert this in here, that we really should not be seeking after being famous or fame, but we really should seek after being faithful. Because when the Lord comes back, he's going
to
say that good and faithful servant. He's not going to say because you were famous, your name was all over the place. And I think it ties into we seek things so much, and that's why things, they tend to run away from us
right.
a lot. And we should really just seek God and love God. And it may sound so, you know, just really just love God, but it's really important when our heart is right and the intent of our heart or whatever we do is to please the Lord. And he sees that faithful heart, and then that's how your faith can operate better too, because you're not believing God for something for selfish reasons. And I got a scripture to back that up. You know, the scripture says that you could pray amiss,
right?
James, and it says your prayers should be effective. In that scripture, it says that when you pray, it should come to pass.
Right.
Basically, I'm paraphrasing it. And if you're praying with the wrong intent, then you can miss it. You can miss, have a miss, which means your prayers are not going to be answered. But it should be abnormal for our prayers to not be answered, to not work.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You're trying to find
out? Yeah, no, I got it.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, it says, this is James chapter 4. It says, where do wars and fights come from? See, and this is where jealousies come in, where people, you know, I'm mad at you because you got that and I don't have it. Oh, shut up. You ain't supposed to have it. But while you're sitting there lusting over something that somebody else has, you're missing what God has for you. Okay?
See, we're not competing against each other.
Right.
So many churches do that.
I know.
People, Christians do that. Oh, well, they'll even number the church. Oh,
yeah.
How many people you
how
got
many
in
people
your
did,
church?
It used to be in the charismatic movement, how many staff do you have, Pastor Shorter? Ain't none of your business.
But it doesn't matter.
Because the more staff you had, you're supposed to be a real big church. All I say is bigger church, bigger bills.
But, you know, and that's okay, but, you know, We compare churches. They have a bigger church than you.
Right.
You know, more people. That is fleshly. That's of the flesh, and that's being immature. When you compare like that and saying, well, they got this many people, and oh, the parking lot was full over there, and you guys were. That is being immature. Because you're walking
Paul
by the
and Apollos,
you're walking
Cephas.
By the flesh.
Yeah.
Because God is not going to come back with these pastors, whoever they are, and say, well, you didn't have this amount of people. You didn't have this. And he's not going to come back and judge that. What he's going to judge is the faithfulness.
Did you do
just
your
like
assignment?
Us. Did you do your assignment?
Right.
Were you faithful in your assignment? And that is true. Now, God wants this church full, okay? But that's not the focus from the sense of that's what you're just aiming at, you know, just and sometimes, and I know, and this is many years ago, but we have known many pastors that have fallen, that fell, and I'm thinking of one right now, many years ago, and he had like 10,000 more or something like that, and he was having a homosexual relationship with some of the people in his church.
Yeah.
He was the pastor of the church.
A few of those.
And he had to step down, and they, you know, he lost his ministry and stuff.
God will find you out.
But no,
whatever you're doing,
yeah,
though.
But that's,
no, it needs to be known.
I know,
also,
but I'm going to say
something. You can't do that just because it looks like it's sort of successful for a moment. Go ahead.
But that's fleshly. And I said, you know what I said? I said, because I remember this years, I mean, this was many years ago. And you know, I was flipping the channel, and I saw that particular church, and I said something was troubling my spirit. And it's on TV, and I said something is troubling my spirit about
that.
I said that to you, and I'm seeing this is like 20 something years ago, and I said something is troubling me with that church, and the leadership. I mean, and I never watched that program.
No,
I just was flipping
again.
And I saw it in my spirit, and it was not, it maybe a year later, maybe two, something like, it was not long after that, that all that was exposed. And I sat there, and this is what I said. I sat there and I said, see, we need discerning of spirits. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because sometimes people think numbers, that God is in the midst of that.
Right.
But we just shouldn't get caught up in that. We should believe God. Church is full because we want people not just to have a body in the church, but we want people, my heart and our intercessors, we're praying for this. We prayed tonight for this. Our heart is that they come in and get transformed by the glory of God. We want families to come together. We want people to get healed. We want people to get to receive peace. And I mean, that's, should be our heart as a church. So when you go around comparing and doing, you really should stop that, because, and you shouldn't even compare members and say, oh, she got a better voice than so-and-so and all, because that's just, it just shows you, okay, I need to grow in this area, because we all have gifts and talents and things that God has given to us. We just need to discover them and use them by being faithful to the Lord with that gift, because you're going to stand before God, and he's not going to say, well, so-and-so's voice was better than yours. She did a better job with that song. He's not going to say that. He's just going to say, have you been faithful? The things I've given you to do, were you faithful? So we have to keep that. I really am trying to repeat myself and stress this. You need to have that attitude. I need to have the attitude. We need to focus on just being faithful to God, pleasing him, trusting him with all of our heart, the Bible says. Trust him with everything that's in us, and he'll bring it to pass, whatever it is.
You know, and the Bible says...
You were reading that scripture, though.
Yeah,
did you finish?
Yeah, I was.
That's a good
scripture.
Well,
basically, in James, I've got several of them rolling in my spirit right now. But James chapter 4... And I only read the first part of this. So let's go back to James chapter 4. Now, I'm going to take a couple of minutes to be able to deal with this, because while she was speaking, the Spirit of the Lord dropped an assignment in my heart. He said, we have a lot of people that compare, for example, this church with a lot of churches throughout the city. Now, you have to understand, I'm in a unique position as the pastor of this church and founder of this church, because I am an African-American man.
Okay.
And we have a spirit of excellence here.
Okay.
And this ain't no dinky church. I mean, you know, it's a nice site. Most pastors that come through here say, man, this is the size of the church I really want to have. Have about four or five services like this, man. I'm just fine. But that's just shop talk.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is that people will compare Pastor Sheldon's church ain't as big as so-and-so's church on 72nd Street. If I was in Africa, this thing would be packed out 25 times.
Have a hunger for
the reason why it ain't probably where it should be is because people have to, they're fleshly.
Yeah.
Now we have everybody going to this church. This lady's from Hawaii. That these are Caucasian folks over here. There's some folks that's of mixed race. There's, you know, we have Hispanic people that have been to this church. We have some that are Asian. But why are we comparing ourselves? Now you're going to kind of compare me as if I'm in Africa. Because to you, you're in Africa if you got a church and you're a different color than me. See, because if I was Caucasian, people wouldn't have as much problem.
Yep.
See, this is my assignment. Don't look at me.
Yep.
I didn't ask you to come tonight.
It's the truth.
Okay,
though.
So I got to just do my assignment. I got to give an account to God. Somebody's got to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Stop comparing Pastor Shorter with Pastor Kevin Gerald and all these other people, Casey Treat and all these other people. Because sometimes it's just the people that won't come because of the color of my skin.
That's the truth.
Now, I found that out with Dr. Price, who had a 10,000-seat auditorium. But you could count the people of other races. You went there, Felicia.
Yep.
With two hands.
Yep. Yep.
So who's got the problem? Me? No, what we do is
people
that we're comparing ourselves with ourselves, which is what 2 Corinthians says is not wise.
Yeah.
And we are picking out Paulus, Cephas, yeah. And you know what I've found out?
Oh, yeah.
And I like this preacher better than that preacher. And you know what? Sometimes it's the wrapping on the candy bar that you like. And you don't know that thing is maggot-filled till you open it up. Okay? And I'm not saying that about these churches. I'm saying we got to stop judging people by the wrapping they're in.
Well, that's
now, true. It's easy for me to say, and, you know, I will not get a white pastor calling me tomorrow saying, Pastor Short, I'm so glad you said that. They're not going to call me. I know these guys. I know all of them. I helped most of them. I was in advertising.
But why is it that it's
but see,
always
I'm not
a black...
angry. I no. got an assignment. No, let me finish my assignment.
Okay.
I got an assignment to drop this on y'all tonight. To stop comparing this pastor. See, there's redlining in the body of Christ.
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't know what redlining is where the real estate agents and the different officials that develop properties would keep people of certain ethnicities out of those properties,
yeah.
would not even make them available to
those
them.
Neighborhoods
and if they tried to apply for those houses, mm-hmm. they would somehow, oh, your loan didn't go through. Oh, somebody already put in an offer. I'm sorry, you didn't get it. Oh, that property's already gone. And it was investigated by the federal government about redlining. Well,
right.
In the body of Christ, we got redlining going on. Because the word that we're given is just like the word that anybody else is given. And Dr. Price's church should have been, Pastor Price's church should have been filled with everybody. Do you know how many people's in Los Angeles? So don't judge this church. See, don't compare this church until you send me over to Africa where I'm in a place where everybody looks like me.
Yeah.
And then we invite people to church.
And a lot of African-American people, black folks, they don't have a problem going to a church that's, notice how I say this, pastored by a white minister. If I had you raise your hand, most of you say, I've been to a church.
We were at two of them before we got here.
But it is true that there's too many Caucasian people that just have a serious problem. And I know it because I've had letters written to me. I've had people write me about this subject, about... even Caucasian women feeling inferior amongst a lot of black women. I had that letter written to me, and that's why they couldn't stay at this church, because they were feeling inferior. And so this is not a hearsay. These are conversations I've had.
No.
Me being biracial, you know, they felt a little comfortable talking to me about it, and because I can see sort of both sides of things. But it's just true. It's just really true that that... You know, Caucasian people, a lot of them, white folks, they won't tell you they're prejudiced. They won't tell you they have a problem because, of course, they don't want to seem that racist. You know, they hate that word. You know, I'm not racist. But there's too many Christian that do have a problem and stuff. Because, I mean, we had a white family in here. And I feel so comfortable because, you know, how God had me birthed. And so we had a white family here, and the husband wanted to come to the church, remember? And his little kids, I think Michelle probably remember them. And we were trying to get the little kids in the choir and stuff. And the wife would literally sit out in the car and wouldn't come in. She wasn't going to come into this black church.
What she called a black church.
What she called black church. And notice how white people, a lot of them, they'll say a black church, but we don't say a white church. It's just, they're just a church, but we're considered a black church. And even the President of the United States says that. You know, a lot of the presidents, yeah, they say, ignorant. I went to a black church. I went to, you know, they usually go to those Baptist black churches. And, you know, if we can't talk about race in here, then we're in trouble. You know, and so we should be able to talk about race. And I remember Donna Hilly, she's coming. I'm bringing her up here in May. I'm doing something different this year. This would be a first year that I didn't preach on Mother's Day. So I'm bringing Donna Hilly, who is Caucasian. And she was our first, she came in here, maybe we were 6 months old as a church. And she's a single mom at the time. And now her daughter is married, got three kids. And, you know, just, they're just doing really good. Yeah, they're pastoring and stuff. And working with some other churches, too. And so anyway, and I remember her getting up from service sometimes because a lot of white people didn't know that it was a black pastor in this church. And so we would go through the music and stuff, and then you would stand up, and then they would start leaving.
Well, we had a lot of we had a lot of white folks on the worship team, so they didn't know what was going on until I got up.
Yeah, at that time, yeah. And then so what happened was, so that's why we really start putting our picture out there. So they won't come in and be shocked.
Because it disrupts the service.
Because it's distracting. You know, it's distracting. And I remember one time she got so tired of it, and she ran out of church. I didn't know what was going on. And then she, at the end of service, she came to us. She said, I went out there, and I said, why are you leaving my church? Is it because my pastor is black? Is that why you're leaving? And she had so many. She started doing that. It was something else. And so anyway, I didn't tell her to do it. She just, you know, got really upset about it. And so this wife, she would sit out in the car. She refused, and her husband said she refused to come in because this is a black church, as she said, black church.
Their kids loved it.
Yeah, her kids loved it. And so eventually they left. He left. Right. He wouldn't come to church no more because he wanted to keep his marriage
together.
Well,
we had another gentleman.
Oh, we got so many.
He was a prophet.
Stories.
I have freedom, and I have an assignment. And
well, I think this is good. Hear this.
You ain't going to hear this nowhere else. You ain't going to go to nobody else's church in this city and hear this. Mm-mm. Black or white. They ain't going to talk like this.
They won't talk
about it. See, because... You know, anyhow, I was on white radio stations. And my ratings were number one, number two all the time. People liked listening to me, but they never saw me until they saw a billboard or saw some advertising or something like that. But I was able to communicate with everyone because I know how to have, you know, a clear diction when I didn't have to talk. I mean, I know how to use my T's, S's, and C's. But see, the challenge is that people can't take the wrapping you're in.
No, you were saying something.
No, I know. I'm going to go to that.
Oh, okay.
And see, you have to realize that this assignment is given to us to be able to help free people up. And this is the second service that I've had that God is dropping these assignments in me. So I want to make sure that we know. We should have a family of everybody. I pray that every person that should be at this church get to this church. I don't care what color you are. And I pray that the ones that won't come to this church, they're supposed to be in this church because of me. See, because God brought me back from the dead for something, and it wasn't just to be able to sit here and hope somebody come. I'm telling you, I pray the ones that got a problem have black folks as their neighbors in heaven. He's building mansions. Can you imagine that for eternity? You're with these people you hate?
I hate to say this, if they make it to heaven. Because being
prejudiced... I could go to John on that one.
No, let me just say this very clearly.
Want me to go to John?
The Bible says, God said this.
Take you to John.
Let me say, this is so important. Okay. God said, how can you say that you love your brethren? How does that go? You love your...
How do you say you love God when you can't stand your brethren who you see every day?
Who you see every day.
Okay. Now, I didn't plan on this tonight.
Some people won't make it in. They think they're going to make it in, but they're really, to me, racism and a problem like that is really a form of hate. You just really, you hate that person because of the color of their skin. You know, and so I remember we had, how many of you remember Cheryl Lynn? She's passed away, so I can talk about her, yeah. And she was a really...
Very gifted woman.
Yeah, white lady, and she was really gifted, and she heard you on radio, didn't know you were black, came into the church, her and her husband, and
she had to deal with it, didn't she?
Yeah, she had to deal with it, and she came up to us and told us she had to deal with it. Real artistic kind of woman. And she said that. She said, you know, I've never been to a black church before. And I said, well, this is not a black church, though. I said, the pastor's black, but this is not a black church. There's no such thing really as
there's
a black
no
church.
There's no Chinese church.
There's no such thing
Jesus
as a Chinese
didn't say,
church.
I will build my Chinese church.
Yep.
I will build my black church. I'll build my white church. I'm going to build a Hispanic church. He said, with this revelation, Peter, I will build my church.
My whole
church is his. Yep. It just depends on where you live. And that's why I say, if I lived in Africa where people with similar skin was around me, they wouldn't have a problem with coming.
Or a big population of African
Americans. Now, I'm going to tell you, because there's
You're
not just
talk
this.
You're going to talk about the prophet, too, though.
Yeah, I know. I wrote it down. But, okay, Creflo, I'm going to bring out names. Creflo Dollar. Look at his congregation. I'm just saying about color. I ain't talking about what people preach. I'm talking about color. I'm just saying we as the body of Christ have a problem that I can't solve. I can't solve it. It's Keith Butler in Detroit. Dr. Godot, he's got a little more Hispanics, but see, he's like Kathy. He's mixed race. See how fleshly we are? And we got to stop being this way, folks. We just got. Now, I'm talking about you can't get there by other ways. God says we have to have faith. This is what we're talking about. It's not based on who you think you are.
But people are so much in the flesh that they can't have faith. Because if you're in the flesh, you cannot have faith. You're not having the faith of God.
Well,
if you're in the flesh. And there's too many Christians that are still
okay.
in the flesh.
So where do wars and fighting come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Continue, please. Verse 2, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Go to the next verse. You ask and do not receive because you ask, you preached it amiss. We can be praying and praying amiss.
But go back. Go back. Go back. Number 2, I think. No, number, let me see. Yeah, number 3. It's in number 3. You ask, this is what I said, this is abnormal. You ask and do not receive. That's abnormal. When you ask, you should receive. But it says you ask and do not receive because. So that's the reason why.
The
cause that be. Because you ask amiss. You miss the bullseye. Because you're asking, there it is. Your intent is off. That you may spend it on your own pleasures. Some people are so self-centered, all they think about is themselves. The reason why you should prosper is not just for yourself. You prosper so you can be a blessing to the kingdom of God and you'll be a blessing to other people. Of course, you're going to be a blessing to your family members, okay, and your household. Take care of your household. That's a given. But you prosper so you have an abundance so you can do a good work. Really? And people are self-centered. We have too many Christians that are selfish. All they think about is me, myself, and I. How can I get over on somebody? How can I use somebody? How can they help me? You know? Lord forbid, I never want to be like that, where I'm just looking at the congregation, how can they help me? How can they give to me? And that's why I try to, and you know, and I'm not perfect, but we have to exercise our faith. And that's why I think it's important for us, and I try to give to other people in the congregation. When is their birthday? When is their thing? And they don't ask me to do that. And you know, I can't give to everybody I want to, But I try to, you know, bless other people. And sometimes I'll vacuum the floor. I still will see things. And I say, you know, I'm going to do this. And Joyce don't know this. Sometimes she does, but not very often. I'll just vacuum the floor. And then I said, because I don't want her to have to come and do this when we messed it up. See, because I'm thinking about other people, not how can people just serve me. And we have to get out of that. That is so selfish. That is so fleshly. It stinks. Flesh stinks. It does. The Bible says that. It just stinks. It's just so, oh, I just, you know, and we, as we grow in the things of God, that's why we need to grow in Christ so we can become more Christ-like. And that should be our aim for this year, is to grow, all of us. That's why the Lord put it in your heart for us to fast.
We're supposed to be fasting one day a week.
And I fasted. And when I fasted, you know what I said?
I've been fasting.
I didn't say change the congregation, change this. When I took time to fast this week, I said, Lord, help me. Help my heart. Help me. Help my life. I want to be right in your sight. I want to be faithful in your sight. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to work on me. Because we try to work on everyone else. And then the Bible says if you can get the mote out of your eyes, then you can help somebody else.
That's right.
That's the word. But you were talking about the prophet. You don't want to go back to the race.
Well, yeah, I do want to go back to that because I need to. Because
that's another
this
story.
This man of God
we
was
got so many
very
stories.
Strong man of God. In fact, when I ended up in the hospital, he's the one that wrote the prophecy to me about our family needed to come together. And they did at my bedside when my liver was dying. But he's the prophet that did that. He's now in Kansas, I think, or Missouri or somewhere. But anyhow, he brought his family to this church. And he has not one prejudiced bone in his body. But his wife wouldn't come into the church. Another one just like this. And she
was spending time at home.
Spending time praying. At home, and she didn't need to
That's
come in the church.
That's why she didn't want to come
so
to the
So she would
church.
Come to church. They had two kids, mm-hmm. a girl and a boy, very sharp kids. They would come into the church, and he would come in and be part of the ministry, even share the word, and God would give mm-hmm. him prophecies and different things for the congregation and the spirit and all that kind of stuff. But she would sit in the car. And at first he started believing her that she really, you know, I don't need to come in here.
Well, the Lord told me that's not true.
But it was strange the way she was acting. And she would never tell him that she couldn't stand this church. I mean, she couldn't stand me and us, whatever, because she was supposed to be that spiritual. And after a period of time, she just stopped coming with him. And then after a while, she started lying on him and saying that he was abusing the children. And then after a while, she filed divorce. Yeah. And she left him.
Yeah.
Over this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he yeah. had to really deal with the fact that, yeah. and you know, he said, I just never thought she was that way, but she was. Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying this is deep-rooted stuff.
It is
and
deep.
I don't care what side you're on. You don't need to be hating anybody.
Yeah.
You don't need to be hating anybody. You don't need to hate people for revenge because they hated you. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be hating anybody about anything. You know, none of us need to think of words that we're all that in a bag of chips, as they say. We're not. You're just, you know, because when I started going through that mess with that sickness, the Lord gave me something. He had me say, don't use Dr. Don Short any longer until I tell you. And don't even use pastor, don't use anything, because I had pulled out of the ministry and let my wife and my son take over. He said, you are who you are by the grace of God. And that's why I started an email, Mr.MR.DonaldShorter@gmail.com. Because the Lord said, I don't want you to walk around like you got a big old title and all this stuff. You just let me just guide you back. Well, once that was over, he said, you need to take all your titles and here's a couple of more. But anyhow, God just wants us to know that you ain't all that. And he had me change my email. I couldn't use drdonshorter@gmail.com, which I've been using for the longest. He said, I want you to use Mr. and just take your titles off because you're not all that. You are who you are by the grace of God. And you know, I kept that. I know, you know, because I've been through hell and back. I am who I am by the grace of God. I am not all in the bag of chips.
And we're all in this together.
Whatever that means.
You know, and there's really our calling, it's not like we're so important. We're just doing our calling.
I'm just getting assignments and giving them to you.
We're just as important as the person that's passing container. All of us are just serving God and where God has placed us.
We're servant leaders.
And once again, we're going to stand before the Lord and he's going to say, that good and faithful servant, you carried out your assignment. That's all God cares about. So we just need to do our assignment, stay faithful in our church, and just please the Lord, because you know one day it'll all be over with.
Right.
And we're not here to compete. We're not here to, you know, try to get attention from somebody. We really should practice and really strive to be humble and find ways. That's why vacuuming the floor or something to me is humility. You know, it's just an act of trying, you know, to be humble and fixing up this, like, you know, just humble.
You know, I would rather you be writing more OSPs and other stuff like that.
What now?
I'd rather you be writing more OSPs and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, the ministers are here. The Bible says in the book, let me say this too. That brings me something. The ministers are supposed to be, the Bible says in the book of Acts,
chapter 6.
The ministers are supposed to be here to pray and study the word.
And minister the word.
So they can minister the word, okay? The pastor should not be, or minister should not be running around trying to cut the grass, trying to do this. Not that they can't. Like when we have all church cleanup, yeah, the pastor can come out there and help and stuff. And we do. We come out there and be with you guys and do all that. But that's not their assignment according to the word of God. They should be praying, hearing from, so they can feed the flock of God. That's their job. And then God raises up deacons in the church.
Let me say
something. We have some wonderful deacons
and
wives in this church. I want to say this. We need to learn how to respect them. We should not talk back to them.
Officers.
We should not talk down to them. They're here to help us. And we have some wonderful deacons and wives.
And let me say this. If you talk down to our deacons, it's coming straight to me. I know what you said.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate it.
Right.
So don't do that. Okay. And I've heard some things lately. I don't like it.
Yeah.
You respect those officers. They are appointed by me by way of God and approved by the congregation.
Yeah.
They are in position. They have to give an account for what they do. But Philip was a deacon and a preacher too, an evangelist.
And we need to respect.
Stephen was a preacher that preached the gospel and was of course a deacon. Don't play with this.
We got to
be serious about what we're doing. You can't talk down to the leadership in this church, and God bless you.
Yeah, because we need to honor one another. I mean, we need to honor you guys. You guys need to honor us. But we need to respect our leadership. It's like your boss. You're not going to go to your boss. You will not go to in your face, your boss face.
Unless you quit that day.
Of the things that are said to the pastors of the church, because you wouldn't have a job. So we're gonna step it up a little bit, and we're gonna honor our pastoral staff, our pastors in this church, and we're gonna honor the deacons in this church, because they got work that they have to do and fulfill. And the Bible says we should honor one another, but we need to learn how to stand with our pastors. We need to learn how to stand with our deacons. We're not going to have inside fighting. That's one thing. You mark this, and I know this
Don't be talking negative about our pastor staff.
That's one thing I don't like.
I don't care who they are.
Don't compare Pastor Shorter with Pastor Don. Pastor Don is different from his dad.
That's right.
Okay?
By design, God did it.
A pioneer. He had to fight demons.
I got a different personality.
To get this church. So he has a different personality.
That's how we built this.
Pastor Shorter Jr., Pastor Don Jr., he has more of a laid back, cool, you know, personality. But God gives him a word to speak. God gives him the way.
We both preach the word.
And you know what? You both need it. We need the you know, the punch, sort of. Really?
I can't help myself.
And then we need, you know, the calmness sort of with the punch. He's still got a punch, you know. Pastor Don still got a punch, too. You know, and so we need it all. We need it all. And thank God we have it in this church. So we have the correction. We have the, come on, we're going to do it this way.
The prophet with the correction, the exhortation, the comfort.
Really, we should thank God for that. And that's why I say, tell your friends, hey, you know, if he's preaching, it's going to be fire and brimstone and everything else. You know, when he preaches, it's going to be, you know, a little bit more. You can, you know, take the medicine a little more. But
I have to say something. I got another assignment. This is a new year. We're accelerating. I have got to do this because God brought it up. I already talked to the leadership about this and to the deacons. If you are not tithing, you are not working in this church any longer. I cannot have cursed hands touching cameras, sound, carrying the offering, greeting people, and you cursed. Because the Bible says, bring the tithes into the storehouse. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. How am I going to have a staff full of volunteer cursed folk? It sure is quiet. I didn't know this was Presbyterian church. Well, y'all don't say amen. You should be amen in exactly what I'm saying. Because when we get everybody on one accord, listen, I got the report already for 2025. First of all, last year was
God for the tithers and givers.
Let me finish.
Yeah, because
last
got a good
year
report.
Was the highest income year of this church's history in 38 years. Praise God. But there's a whole lot of folks that are not doing their part. Now, you can continue to come to the church, but you will not serve in this church. You need to keep coming because you need to hear the word about being faithful with your tithes and offerings, because money apparently is your master. If you can't part with it, then it's telling you what to do. You ain't telling it what to do. I write the checks, not the checks write me. So if you're not tithing in this church, keep coming. Warm a seat, get the word, go home, study it for yourself. What you hear here, you need to study it on your own to make sure we're telling you the truth. Take it to the word. I don't have no problem with you studying what I'm teaching and finding out if God is really saying that. Now, I do have stories and some opinions that I throw out, and when I say, you know, just saying, that's me. I'm just saying. But when I'm teaching the word of God, I'm teaching the word of God. So you will not be able to serve in this church, and we're going to go from department to department, and all we're going to do is we're going to ask you, because we're already looking at the report. We're just going to ask you, because then we're going to find out if you're honest. And we won't say nothing. We'll just take you for face value, because that's what we have to do. We're going to ask you, are you a tither and giver? It's already asked about it on the volunteer applications. And people lie all the time. I can't take it any longer. God wants this church pure. We can't have flying ointment and still drinking it.
God wants this church.
We're not going to play.
God wants this church on one accord.
You know how this church is going to accelerate?
And we shouldn't have no gossip. You guys need to learn how to shut gossip down. That's what the deacons are for. That's one of their
They're supposed to be
that's
in your
one
business.
Of their jobs is to be in the business of people in this church,
right,
to make sure they're shutting mess down. Because that's one thing I do not like. I do not like it. I was a part of a church when I was a teenager, and they had these cliques all the time, and I just stayed away from all those cliques and stuff. And then we start dating, and we just stayed with each other and stuff.
We just hang with each
other. I mean, it was really bad. I mean, I saw some things in that church. It was really bad. And I said, I will not have this. I do not like this at all. I don't like the cliques. I don't like Discord. I just don't
and
want it.
Disrespect.
I'm not
going to disrespect the leaders of this church, and I'm going to sit here and like it.
Yeah.
I will never like that.
Yeah.
You've got to respect the leaders in this church. We've prayed for these people. These people have been faithful for 20, 30, 40 years almost. And you're going to sit there and disrespect them? No, you're not. And they've been too loyal to us.
The deacons and wives, they're supposed to be here to make sure we can have harmony, we can be on one accord, unity. Because when people come into this church, I want to know they're coming into a family. And I know families, you know, because this is a family of God. You're going to have little, you know, people in departments fussing. But you need to learn how to work out your situations and love each other and walk in love. Okay? You should be able to disagree or whatever, but still can work together and not hate each other and then not try to sow discord. Because the Bible says in Book of Proverbs, chapter number 6, God hates 6 things. 7 thing is an abomination to him. And one of them is, put it up there, Proverbs 6 something.
And where do wars and fights come from? This is what we're talking about. We're talking about wars and fights in the
church. And he says,
this is the Book of James, okay?
One of the things he hates is sowing discord between the brethren. Okay, and so leaders,
Proverbs chapter 6.
Yeah, and as leaders, we got to talk about situation, but I don't like to deal with situations, but I have to, because in order to say, okay, who started this murmur? Who started this sowing discord? Who's trying to sow discord between the pastors of the church? I mean, I want to know that kind of stuff. Because we're not going to have that, because the church can't grow. The sheep wants to come in where it's really, not all that kind of stuff, okay? So I'm training this whole congregation this now, not just our leaders. So you need to learn how to shut stuff down. And bring it to us. Because to me, if you don't bring it to us, then you're not being loyal to your leadership. If you're going to hold on to it and then just, keep talking about it, then you're not being true to yourself. You're sure not being true to God.
And if the deacons stick their nose in your conversation, it's probably because I told them to. Because we have had people go and pull some people over to the side, and all of a sudden they're not in the church. And I watch, who's the last one they were with before they left?
This is like leadership training.
I don't really care. God dropped
it in my heart. Congregational training.
So. But I'm telling you, we can't have that. Because we're going to accelerate.
Right.
So we're going to just go faster doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Why would we go faster doing the same stupid stuff? We got to shut it down. We got to say, no, man, there's some things we need to throw out the trunk before we take off.
Yep.
In flying airplanes. No, let me say this.
Go on.
In flying airplanes and helicopters, there's a thing called weight and balance. You got to make sure that you ain't overloaded in the front or in the back. If the back's, how you going to get off the ground? You ain't never going to get off the ground. If the front, you're never going to get off the ground. You try to land and use up your fuel and now you're imbalanced. You got to plan for not only when you take off, you got to plan for when you're going to land. Will you still be in balance? And there's a graph we go through and various graphs we go through to find out, are you going to still be in balance? You need to let go of something that we're going to accelerate. And some of you, if this is hitting you in the head, it's supposed to. You came tonight because it needed to hit you in the head.
So stop hanging around
because we love you.
That want to criticize your church. Yeah. I wouldn't dare. And that's why we've never had that. People never come to us.
Because we do this.
Criticize.
We're just exposing. I taught this congregation.
No, I'm talking about our pastor and wife. We've never had nobody come to us. And they knew better. And there's one pastor that we have a friendship with that, he wasn't like so much favorable. But we you're just not going to have my attention because I'm not going to let you. And my pastor and wife, he's in heaven, but they wasn't perfect people either. But you're not gonna put your mouth on them.
Yeah, not even
now. And won't have my attention.
Away. You ain't gonna put your mouth on
Dr. Chew. And that's why I have, and you guys need to be like this. Some of you want so many friends, you want so many people to like you, and you're not gonna be a good Christian. You're not gonna do what God wants you to do, your full calling, and carry out being faithful. If you're going to have that kind of spirit where you have to have everybody like you, because everybody's not going to like you. There's some people in this church that really don't care so much about me. And that's fine, because I can still love you, because you know what? When I stand before God, I'm not going to stand and have to give an account for your heart. I'm going to stand and have to get an account for my heart. So you can hate me all you want, but I'm going to love you all the way to heaven. Because I'm going to stand up and I'm going to be clear, okay? So some people are sort of acting ugly and stuff, I just go pray and stuff, but I'm not going to have no bitterness. I'm not going to carry no bitterness in my heart. I'm going to just forgive people before they even do something stupid and just love people in spite of, they just need to grow. Really, if we grow in Christ and become more Christ-like, we wouldn't have a lot of these problems. We wouldn't even have to talk about this kind of stuff. But this is kind of stuff that we deal with sometimes in this ministry. We deal with little petty, it's petty stuff, little petty things. People, you know, oh, you know, this church is different from, I mean, all this information come to us and it's just petty junk. And so God wants us to be on one accord. You need to love your church and take care of your church and don't let people just criticize your church, and because you don't have to, you know. And I told someone one time, the Lord showed me this, said, you know, people don't have to hate me. Now this, you have to think about what I'm saying. People don't have to hate me to love you. Okay, because the other person was trying to get people to dislike me so they can be built up in the eyes of that person. And I had to say, people don't have to hate me to love you. They can love you and love me. So you don't have to try to make them hate me so they can like you.
Folks, we're teaching
that's,
you.
That's revelation. God told me to say that.
Yeah.
So you don't, you need to stop doing that. You don't have to belittle me and criticize me. And I mean, I've walked in the bathroom before, not at this church, the when we were in the round. No, we were actually in the academy building when this happened.
On Pacific
Avenue. I've never had this happen before. But I walked in, I was getting ready to go in the bathroom, and these ladies, this one lady, she was talking so bad about me. She didn't know, because I don't usually go, because even when we were in the Academy Excellent, we had our own restroom, you know, and so I don't have to go to the main restroom for the women, right? And so I just decided to do that. I don't know why. But when I did, I mean, she was just talking about me and stuff, and then I walked right in and said, hello, how are you guys doing? It's such a great day. And so, you know, I mean, I've been through, you know, 30-some years. I got stories. But did I hate the person? No. Mm-mm. Seen them since.
Still,
talked to them since. Ran into the restaurant with this person since.
Oh.
And, I mean, not lately, but, you know, I have. And greeted them and didn't say nothing. And never did say anything about it. I just, you know, I just knew. And I said, they're the ones with the problem.
Okay, can I need to read this. Okay. Proverbs chapter 6:19.
I've done
6,
enough
16.
Leadership training.
Here we go. Yeah, and this is, you just need to, I'm just trying to set things, I'm trying to get us ready to accelerate. Six things the Lord hates. Now, if the Lord hates them, you should hate them.
Yep.
Seven are an abomination to him. I'm going to read them. Let's go to verse 17.
And we'll close after this.
Come on, this is going to close. A proud look. Oh, I'm all that. God hates it. A lying tongue. You can't tell the truth even if somebody told you the truth and you didn't say nothing. You'd still be lying. Hands that shed innocent blood. Mm-hmm. Now, that's obvious. A heart that devises wicked plans. Are you sitting around planning evil against somebody?
Yeah.
God hates that. You know what? You're fighting against God.
Yeah.
Feet that are swift in running to evil. Oh, man, I got to be with them. But they're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Next one. False witnesses who speak lies. You're going to lie on somebody. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
False witness who speaks lies. God hates this, and we should hate it. And one who sows discord amongst the brethren.
Yeah.
You're going to just drop some stuff to be able to cause people to be mad at each other and be able to be jealous with one another and all this kind of foolishness. I'm not going to take it. God don't take
to
it.
To make yourself look good.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
So you got to understand what kind of pastor you're up here with. We're going to live this thing right as close as we can till we get to heaven in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not perfect, but we're not going to put up with people sowing discord, people hating one another, people talking about one another, all this other stuff. We're not going to do that, especially when it comes to leadership. And our deacons are officers. There's two officers in the church, ministers and deacons. That's it. God appoints the ministers, and the leadership appoints the deacons. You need to respect them like officers. Mm-hmm.